The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
What I want to do this morning is look at some things that will have practical applications. We remain in the book of Acts, and there's a person that's not that well known. He is not the shining star that certainly our Savior was, or many of the apostles, although you'll discover at the end of this, he was an apostle. And I want to talk about Barnabas. As the sermon says, Barnabas, the scripture, describes him as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. There's a lot of men and women out here sitting in this congregation that are that. They are wonderfully Christian people, filled with the reflection of Jesus in their very souls. They mirror to me Jesus. More than I mirror to myself, I am so proud and blessed to be part of you guys. And then the issue too is, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, how does that happen, Pastor? What is this all about? I'm not going to teach on the gifts, but here it is. I'll give you the simplest thing. To be filled with the Spirit, you say, oh, Father, please fill me with your Spirit. And then by faith, you receive it. When you ask him for a fish, Jesus said, when you ask the Father for a fish, he'll not give you a snake. When you ask him for bread, he'll not give you a stone. How much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who love him? If you love him, he wants to fill you. There's another kind of prerequisite, a quiet one. It's somewhere here in my notes, but I'll do it from memory. Peter is preaching at Pentecost, and he said, the Holy Spirit comes to those who obey him. And I know I'm being repetitive in saying this, and it's not exactly a quid pro quo. Oh, son, if you're so good and kind and loving, I'll meet you. He's met me when I was so needy and coming to him and confessing my failures and my weaknesses. And then I remember some cultists came into my house, and he illumined my mind to know that that one was from a Christian home originally, and that one wasn't. And when I told them that, the one guy started shaking because he was going, how can you know that? Well, I wasn't like, you know, being crazy and in some crazy weird meeting somewhere getting this. It was just in the natural flow of things. Ideas came into my mind just as I was talking to them. But I was leaning on the Lord, and the only obedience I had to give the Lord Jesus was my confession of lack and need for him. So, he gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit are simply something that he imparts. What is prophecy? Prophecy is speaking forth. It's foretelling or forthtelling, and we'll discuss that in a minute. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Now, I'm going to read you a little portion here from a book written by, I want to advertise the book. It's a good, extremely short book called Becoming Barnabas by Robert E. Logan and Tara Miller. And the question is this, who was Barnabas? He was a world changer. He was someone that was that guy we just described. See, once upon a time, there was this young guy in a ministry, and he really messed up. Maybe some of you have, I certainly have. And the boss of the ministry, seeing his failure and his disaffection and his inconsistency and maybe a form of cowardice, said, you're done with this ministry, it's over. I can't have that. He's like a soldier, this guy was like a soldier, and he's going into battle and can't have this stuff. And this other guy comes along and he goes, you know, That's really kind of rough, you know, that's kind of cold. And he implores the boss not to cut this guy loose. And the boss says, he's cut loose, he's done. And so these two godly leaders separated in ministry. Does this sound like a familiar story to you, does it? Well, it's really relating to the Apostle Paul and a guy who had been his boss, a guy named Barnabas, and they are fighting in the best of senses over a young man whose name was John Mark. Now, if you read your Bible, John Mark wrote something later after a resolution of this issue called the Book of Mark. And much of what is written in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Scriptures, comes in some measure from his life and his discussions, and his life reflected the story of Paul. His knowledge, he was part of those people that gathered the canon of Scripture, at least the New Testament piece. What would the world have been like without his inclusion? Where would information have come from to be part of the Gospels? Because Mark's Gospel is like a key and a portion in a number of the Gospels. The whole world would have been changed if God had done with him. But there was this one guy that separated from the Apostle Paul and went off and accepted John Mark's work. And later you'll see that Paul invites Mark to be part of his group again. I need him. He is useful to me, I think is what he says in the book of Acts. And we'll see that in the days ahead. Barnabas was a world changer without many people even knowing his name. And yet his name's very important. You know, his name was originally Joseph. But in the Holy Scriptures, it says this. The people around him changed his name to Barnabas in some sense. And Barnabas means a number of things. It can mean son of consolation. But it definitely means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Now, I have many Barnabases in my life, these people that encourage me along the way. And I pray that the Lord, you'll see beyond me to the Jesus who wants to encourage you this day. Because that story sounds somewhat familiar. Those of us who have been in business or worked a long time, we've experienced rejection. We've lost our jobs. We failed our companies or our marriages or whatever it is. And we can write ourselves off and put kind of a big X and a circle around ourselves and we're done, we're through. God can't use us. But he can. And he wants to use you. And he wants to make a team leader out of you. Or at least, at the very least, a servant of the Lord. And there is no higher calling. Those that are great in the kingdom of God are servants. Harold was out there. I'm sorry I don't know Harold's name, but I do know he's about 6'6". Last week he was out there ushering. Any of you seen this young man? Somebody told me he was the star high school quarterback around here somewhere, maybe Centerville High School. I don't know where it was, but that's a big boy standing there. And I went to talk to him, and he was so earnest. Harold, I'm sorry you're not here to hear this. He was so earnest. He had gotten this little slip of paper in the mail about needing servants for all kinds of little jobs around the local church. And he responded immediately. And I said, Harold, thank you so much. You know, he that would be great in the kingdom of God must be the servant of all. He is least in this world will be great in the kingdom of God. And he said, I know that, and I believe it. Basically, the Lord had impressed that idea on him. And if I can just stop and be very practical for a second here, there's a thing called sign up to serve. And my girl, my daughter, Diana White, Diana's not actually my daughter, but she actually is. She's been part of my life, her whole life, and my wife's life. And she is those of you that know her, she's a dynamo. She's unbelievable. Her daughter was just married yesterday right here in this room. Hopefully that spirit is still here. And all she does is work. And please, her and Andrew, just encourage their hearts. Be sons and daughters of encouragement to them. I don't know how they stand, walk, chew gum at the same time. Here on our website is a thing called Sign Up to Serve. It says, can you serve at one service one Sunday a month? That's really an achievable goal. And the kind of people, that's getting manipulative, I suppose. However, faithful people are faithful people where they go. I just talked to a chief in the Navy. She was out there helping me with ushering. She got way up in the United States Navy. Why? Because immediately upon coming to this church, Linda, which means beautiful, is out there with me welcoming people in. There's something contiguous, or if that's the correct word, something that links here in a personality, in Christ-likeness. He was the servant of all. He died for us. He did something for us. So enough of the sales pitch on this. What I want you to know is help us. If you could do one of these things one time a month, it will change our world. We've started a two-service format. We didn't have a choice. And yet, I believe the Holy Spirit is using this moment. He's not going to let COVID defeat us. He's going to give us growth. No matter how the vote comes out, he is going to grow his church. When times get tough, When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Thank you. Is that my wife with that deep voice? Who said that? Thank you, sir. That's a pastor back there. Thank you, Michael. So, this is in the website. But we want to be like Barnabas, a good people, man, woman, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Are you called to be a Barnabas? Sure. Are you called to encourage people? You bet. Oh, Bill, I don't want to encourage people. I feel kind of down myself. Well, encourage yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a guy that comes to this church every few years or so. It's very irritating. He was on our staff here at the King's Chapel, still is in a sense, we'll call it a mystical sense. Who knows who this man is? But his name's Colonel Brian Roberts. Colonel Roberts was serving one of the heads of CENTCOM, General Monday, as his kind of chief of staff kind of guy. Now, how do you get to the position like that? How did that happen? To a relatively young man. And Brian tells us in his testimony, whose dad killed himself. Huh? You know, God delights to make beauty out of ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And if he can help Brian Roberts stay positive in the darkest storm one can imagine, he can help you and I. You know, when Brian is here, the room lights up. Everyone that knows him knows he's a light bulb. He's an encourager. He said, someone criticized him one time. He goes to me, Bill, I'm like son of encouragement. It was like, why am I getting hammered? I said, welcome to ministry. Welcome to service. But he's the greatest guy in the world. He's kept me on my feet so many times. Do you have that kind of person in your life? Or are you that kind of person? If not, why not? If not now, when? Let's do it. Let's go. Let us be a Barnabas. Now, we met Barnabas. You remember the type of person he is. When he came to Christ, something profound happened. You'll remember he's there in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit has fallen. Miracles are going on. And we see him walking. I think it's in chapter 4 in the book of Acts. Walking in and selling a bunch of stuff that he has, fields, for a distribution to poor widows in the city. You know, Thanksgiving, that's nothing. This guy's changing his world immediately. Why? Because when you love the giver, he puts the heart of the giver in your heart. That's the way this thing goes. I knew when I came to Jesus that my life was no longer my own, and I didn't want my old life in the spirit of myself. I wanted his life. So to give, and I'm not doing a giving thing today except in the very general sense. To give was just a natural extension of living for Christ. Isn't that what he's like? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So people like Brian, they do that. They give to everybody. They make things happen in the world. And that's the way Barnabas was. You'll remember the Apostle Paul was breathing out threats. He was a crazy man. He was a carnivorous shark of a man coming after Christians until the Holy Spirit fell on him and touched him and changed him. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, who became Paul. And Barnabas knows that Saul is coming to Jerusalem and has become a new person when he was changed on the road to Damascus. And Barnabas goes in and kind of fronts things for him and says, don't stone this guy. Don't murder this guy. Don't be afraid of this shark. He's a new creation. He's changed. Thanks to Calvary, the song says, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears rolled down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I've been changed. And that's the bottom line. Paul had been changed, but no one really knew it. But Barnabas knew it. And Barnabas had a fortified courage and the character for his community to say, this guy is the goods. And immediately, Paul goes in risking his life day after day. Wow, that's a heck of a guy. Well, here in this particular portion of Scripture, we're going to see Barnabas again this morning. You'll remember that the church has been scattered. Whenever you see the word diaspora, that means the pushing out of the Jewish people out of Jerusalem, out of Judea. The Assyrians had attacked them and dragged them out. The Babylonians had dragged them out as well. So this had kind of spread the Jewish message of the law and the one true God to the world in some sense. One of the main places they went was Antioch, and I've used that word before, and Antioch was one of the three great cities of that world. Rome, Alexandria, the intellectual capital of the world, and Antioch. The problem with Antioch was it was one nasty place. We'll talk about it. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose, this is verse 19, after Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, Phoenicia, northern Africa, Cyprus, an island about, I think it was 100 miles off the coast. It may have been 10 miles. I don't know. Forgive me for not knowing that. But speaking the word, they were originally speaking the word, those who were scattered from the city, only to the Jewish people. The gospel was to go to the Jewish people first, but something just happened that you guys were bore witness to when Cornelius, a Jewish proselyte, or a Jewish, the other term for that, a guy who loved the Jewish people, came to Jesus, and he was a Gentile. Oh my gosh, that was unacceptable to the Jewish people generally, because they were to be a separate people. But something is happening that's profound as Jesus is using not just the Jewish people, but the people filled with the Holy Spirit to reach his whole world. Something amazing is going on. Something epic-making. And some of these people are in Antioch, and you'll remember, no one knows their names. It wasn't Barnabas. It's just nameless people were so excited about Jesus. Jewish people started going not just to the Hellenistic Jews, those who spoke Greek and were Jewish, but to the Hellenists, to the Greeks. They're going in there, and they're telling them about the Lord, and people are being saved. They're being converted. They're being turned to Christ. Something electrifying is happening. And it seems impossible. I told you I'd tell you this last week. It's going to get a little gross here for a moment. It was the third greatest city, William Barclay says, in the world, next to Rome and Alexandria. It stood near the mouth of the River Orontes, 15 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. It was lovely. It was beautiful. It was magnificent. The buildings were to die for. But it was known for notorious immorality. Also known for sports. That's pretty good, guys like that. And as I told you last time, soldiers had come into the city. A lot of these major cities, you'll see a port somewhere, and you'll see some barracks somewhere. And when you see ports and barracks, go down outside Camp Lejeune. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, and you'll see certain businesses rising up. It helps the local economy in the worst of ways. And so it was in this city where worship went on, the worship of Daphne. Daphne had been, in the legend, her temple was 5 miles out of town. The legend was that she was a mortal, a girl with whom Apollo began to desire, the sun god. And he chases her, a mortal. He pursues her. And for safety, Daphne turns herself into a laurel tree. Now, you know, to the rational Western scientific mind, what? She turned herself into a tree? Who are we kidding here? This is nonsense. Of course it's nonsense. But a human, a god, who is more man than God, chasing a pretty girl to have his way with her, there are children here in the room, let's say to have close contact with her, is not unusual, and that she would turn herself into a tree if she could makes a whole lot of sense in that. In other words, there was something rapacious, there was something crazy in this society where the gods of the society looked exactly like the grossest of immoral beings. That's the way it was. And to worship was to be this kind of person, and so there were, shall we say, festivals out there in the woods 5 miles outside of the city and all over the city. It was a broken but beautiful bauble in the hand of the god of this world, Satan. And he was using it, but there was a new sheriff coming into town. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he attacks these sacred prostitutes with his word that brings purity and light and love. And it seems incredible, but it's true that wherever this stuff goes, you talk about COVID, this is moral COVID in this thing, but Friends, there is a disinfectant, and his name is Jesus. His precious blood was shed so that men could be forgiven their sins, repentance would come, and people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The report of a revival going on in the city, in Antioch, came to the ears of the apostles in Jerusalem, the church, and they sent who? Barnabas, who was out of the Hellenistic world. He was a Greek speaker, up there to see what was going on. When he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad. And he exhorted them, all of them, to be remaining faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. That's the message to us, faithfulness to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man. Do you want to be a good man or a good woman? Oh, I do. I long for it, and I know the only way there is through a power beyond myself. For in the flesh and human nature, there dwells no good thing. But Jesus is beautiful, and when he comes in to clean house. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Something is going on electrifying. They'd gotten sick and tired of their immorality and their phony gods, who they knew they'd made up in the vanity and craziness of their imagination. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. He's going, this is overwhelming. People are coming to Jesus. He's very talented, by the way. At the end of this, I'm going to conclude in about 3 minutes. You'll find out that Barnabas is an apostle. You don't hear that. They never mention him as an apostle. But the scripture says he was one. Not only that, he's a prophet. That means someone who foretells or foretells. And let me say this on prophecy. I'll say it 100 times before we're through with this. The way you know a prophecy is by its fruit and its nature. If someone says to you something and it is filled with integrity and goodness, they should say it to you very gently. I think, I was praying the other night and I felt the Lord was kind of speaking to my heart about you. Well, generally, when someone says that to you, you love them, you thank them for their courage of doing what they do. But it has to confirm something in you. It has to be filled with integrity and beauty. Those who speak in this way, it needs to be tested. You don't just take what anyone says. In the early church, I think it was about 100 years into its thing, there was a book of rules. It was called like the teachings of the apostles or whatever, but what they had discovered is if a guy came to a small town and he said he was a prophet, say, great, he wants to prophesy or tell you about the dreams, great. If he's there for more than one day and he doesn't start working in your community, cast him out, get rid of him. Because they were always trying to make money off someone. There's something. If the person who is speaking to you in the name of the Lord starts checking out your bank account and your liquidity in a certain sense, run, don't walk to the nearest exit. What Jesus does is filled with beauty and majesty and can be tested. And when I feel like he's speaking to my heart, I walk out on it as if it's thin ice. It may be me, but it's also possible it may be him. And you know my story and testimony, those of you that are here, I walked out on some pretty thin ice and God broadened it into a wondrous glacier with wonder and amazing things going on in it. It was the grace of God that sent the man they did to that particular place because he wasn't a legalist. He wasn't trying to re-raise the law for man to justify himself. He wasn't going to make this rigid set of rules for the people there. He just Barnabas wanted to love them and encourage them. That's what Brian always did for me. Barclay says he had the biggest heart in the church. He just had a heart that loved and bled and did everything, not only for John Mark, but for everyone. That's why Paul loved him and came alongside him. And when they split up over the John Mark issue, it multiplied ministry, I guarantee it. Because his gifts, we don't hear about him in the scripture after the holy breakup. But we trust that God did wondrous things in his life. He saw that the Gentiles were swept into the church. And he brought Paul alone along. And in another place in scripture, Barnabas tends to be the leader in the early going here. But Paul was the teacher, the brilliant teacher who was both familiar with Greek philosophy and Greek culture and profoundly instructed by Gamaliel, the greatest Hebrew teacher of his day. It was here in this place, as people were changed, that they were called Christians. Now, it was probably a term that was used in such a way as to make them look like idiots. They believe in this Crestus guy, this guy called Christ. But when they saw the fact of the change in the lives of those who had received Jesus, that fact and that reality began to change the whole city. The world can condemn our doctrine or decry our invisible world where angels and demons and a creator God live. But when they see a change in your character, that shakes up everything. And when they see us acting like people who do not know the Lord Jesus, it breaks everything. Barnabas was an encourager. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, this morning, make us more like your Son. Fill us with a holy excitement about who you are and what you're doing. Lord, come upon us by thy Holy Spirit and let us hear your voice. This is the way, walk you in it. Go this way, go that way. And Father, fill us with your spirit of encouragement, we pray. And if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus, right now I pray for you. Just agree with what I'm saying. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive my sins. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. A, I admit I'm a sinner. B, I choose to follow Jesus. B, I believe that he's the only Savior. C, I choose to follow him right now. Come in, Lord, I pray. He hears you. He loves you. Receive him now.